No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Rockies Insider with me, Patrick Lyons, your Rockies Insider. You didn't vote me, but I just kind of took it over. This is more like a kingdom. So I'm running the ship. I'm going to talk about the organizational players of the month and Gabriel Hughes and Jared Thomas. Preview this Tigers series Tuesday, rain out. Bad weather, doubleheader. We've kind of been through this all over again. It's that time in the month of May. There's some Rockies that have been on the move, bouncing around. And of course, I want to answer any questions that you might have over on the YouTube side of things. I appreciate everyone who's sending that they would vote for me. But again, if it's a kingdom, you have to say that or I will expel you from the kingdom. So really, you know, until it's truly a democracy, we'll see how this goes. But organizational players of the month, it was really cool a few days ago talking with Gabriel Hughes and Jared Thomas. Gabriel Hughes doing big things in his first full season coming back from Tommy John surgery with the AA Hartford Yard Goats, a 2.08 ERA in five starts. Now, only 21 and two-thirds innings pitched, but because this is his first full season back from Tommy John, which he had back in summer of 2023, there is a bit of an inning limit for him. So they're taking it very cautious as he is a part of their future. You know, that's been a question of what do we look forward to for this team? Well, there are guys that are in the system now that will contribute to the next Rockies contender. You have to be patient. You have to keep an eye on them in the minors. Do a little bit of extra homework. You got to do some of those things. But the biggest piece that I like from what Gabriel Hughes has been able to do isn't just the 17 strikeouts and 21 and two-thirds innings pitch, because that is less than one per inning, or it's less than nine strikeouts per game, but it's the four walks. So he's filling up the zone and he's missing bats simultaneously, and he's not getting beaten for those strikes that he's throwing with that 2.08 ERA as a 0.88 whip, which as of the end of last week, it ranked sixth in the Eastern League, while that 2.08 ERA ranked eighth. Now, whip is a stat that doesn't really get thrown around a ton. I think a lot of people do know what it is. In case you don't, that is walks plus hits divided by innings pitched. In other words, how many guys are you allowing on base per inning? And so if you can be under one, that means, you know, you're not even allowing one runner per inning. So that's a really, really nice thing. In the chat, I really like Gabriel Hughes. He looked amazing in spring training. I would agree to that. And was drafted in the first round, just like Dolander. Him and Dolander can be a really good duo for years to come. I think so. Hughes is a player that needs to be added to the 40-man roster this winter, or else he will get exposed to the Rule 5 draft. And I think he is one of those players. There's a lot. There's a lot on that list, and I've written a little bit about that. I've talked about it on the Rockies Insider podcast, but if you're looking for more of the written form, make sure you're getting yourself signed up to the Rockies Insider newsletter over on Substack, patrickdlyons.substack.com. It's absolutely free. That'll just drop into your inbox. And I wrote about, look, I don't think there's enough room for those guys. And so that's where the Rockies in the past should have been created the last couple of years. But certainly at this year's trade deadline, you could see them trade a prospect or two in order to get back a little bit more in a trade. So if you're trying to get rid of an expiring contract like a Herman Marquez or an Austin Gomber, two guys that frankly their value right now in early May isn't a ton, but all it takes is four or five really good starts before the trade deadline, where maybe you can cash in and say, well, these guys probably aren't going to be around going forward. They do have some value. They are looking forward to free agency because they are right there. Well, you know what? If we include one of our prospects, now the prospect coming back to us is going to be even more. And that prospect doesn't need to be added to the 40-man roster until next year. So you're not kicking the can down the road so much as you're balancing things out, because some of the guys that you do expose in the Rule 5 draft, they could end up getting poached by another team. So you might as well try to get something for nothing, which is a strategy that the Rockies have not employed, you know, as much as maybe they should have in the past. But talking with Gabriel Hughes, he's a very thoughtful and insightful young man. He's a player that, you know, hasn't really been bothered by the fact that he does have an innings limit and that he does have to scale things back just a bit as the Rockies do monitor his 2025 season. But the whole Tommy John surgery in the last 2+ years has really taught him a lot about resiliency and the importance of it in this sport. He doesn't see the last 2 years as a setback, but rather as an opportunity for him to learn. He's a very smart young man. And you know, he was able to acknowledge, and I think a lot of people do know, especially if you're listening to the Blake Street Banner, they do talk about that a lot. And that was, you know, certainly one of the things that when you talk to minor league folks, they tell you that, you know, as flashy as the numbers can be in low A or high A, you really don't know how good a player is going to be. You really don't know how much they're going to be able to persevere the typical challenges of being a professional athlete until you reach double A. It's the hardest jump in baseball, and Gabriel Hughes acknowledged that. Now, he's having success this year, but it didn't come right away for him. So that is a major jump. And sure, the jump from the triple A to the majors can be a really hard one, but it's not the same shock to the system for a lot of young players who they've always been the best player in their town or the best player at their college or one of the best. And all of a sudden, you have the elite of the elites in double A, whether it's the Eastern League, whether it's the Texas League or the Southern League. There are actually 3 double A's, believe it or not. But that jump from high A to double A can be huge. And right now, Gabriel Hughes is definitely having tons of success. His fastball right now is currently sitting between 92, 94. Slider is his probably, you know, the biggest go-to pitch that he can lean on, but he's working on the changeup as his fourth pitch because he knows that's something that he's going to need to be truly effective and quite possibly to be truly effective at Coors Field. Now, my final two questions that I had for Gabriel was, number one, he mentioned visualization and doing visualization during the conversation with a handful of folks from the Denver media, and talked about having a mental performance coach. It's actually the same one as Chase Dolander. You can check him out, Brian Cain, C-A-I-N. You can go to his website and see some of the ideas and some of the things that he does working with clients, because that's a mental edge that you can have with that positive thinking, and those mental performance coaches, they do end up getting results. And the final one I had to ask him, which is an interesting thing. I don't know if I mentioned this during spring training, but I asked him, what are you reading? Because I saw Gabriel, not Gabe, by the way, don't call him that. I did read that somewhere. Don't call him Gabe, Gabriel. I saw him reading a book in the clubhouse at spring training, and I've never seen a player read a book ever. Now, have they read an article maybe on their phone? Could be, but I'm not really looking at players' phones. Sometimes they're on them. Sometimes they're reading a scouting report, so they've got the papers that they're looking at or they're watching video, but I've never seen anyone reading a book before until Gabriel Hughes. He was reading The Smartest Guys in the Room about the Enron scandal during the early 2000s. Some of you might know it, some of you might not. One fun baseball fact you may not know is that Minute Maid Park in Houston, which is now called Daikin Park, it was originally, when it opened in 2000, it was originally named Enron Field. And it stayed that way for about 2 years and a little bit more. Early in 2002, when the whole Enron scandal went down, they removed that name. And I didn't realize that it was Astros Field from February of 2002 until July of 2002, when they struck a deal with Minute Maid, and it became Minute Maid Park for the next 22 years. So I asked Gabriel about what books he was reading, And he said he was reading the Steve Jobs biography written by Walter Isaacson, which I had on my shelf, and I've only got about halfway through. I had to stop reading it for personal reasons. I'll leave it at that. But and then he said, oh, and I got the Walter Isaacson biography on Leonardo da Vinci on deck. So he's somewhat of a voracious reader, which is refreshing to see. So once he's up in the majors, it'll be fun talking books with a player. I can't say that I've ever had those kind of conversations before. While the Innocent asking, have the Rockies had any success picking up Rule 5 players? Not too much. That's something that they typically have never leaned into a ton. And, you know, not there hasn't been a ton of teams that have had that success. Yes, there are players that have been Rule 5 draft picks. I mean, the most famous, of course, is Roberto Clemente. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He was actually a prospect with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And that was at a time where teams had, they can have upwards of like 20 minor league teams. And there were some scouts that kind of heard about him, and the Dodgers tried to hide him, leave him on the bench. But the Pirates folks, they did their job. Shane Victorino is one. Johan Santana is a guy that has a little bit of a Hall of Fame pedigree. He could end up being a Rule 5 pick Hall of Famer. So there have been a decent amount. Tommy Kahnle is one that we're seeing right now or going to see in the Detroit Tigers. He is back. He was a Rule 5 pick. Jordan Sheffield in 2021, who the Rockies were able to poach from the Dodgers, and he had a good year and then kind of disappeared. And frankly, I never followed up like where he went. He's just kind of gone. But he had himself a good year. And I really think that's it. Like literally just two guys. Maybe there's a third that I'm thinking of, Luis A. Gonzalez, perhaps. But no, the Rockies just unfortunately haven't had a lot of luck. But they also just typically don't use their Rule 5 picks on players. They've had a lot better luck drafting players for other teams and then trading them. Kevin Kelly was one of them from Tampa a couple years ago. He's still in the majors, still contributing for the Rays. Mark Canha is probably one of the biggest ones that they drafted from out of the Marlins system and then immediately traded Mark Canha to the Oakland A's. How the Rule 5 draft worked, it's a strange draft where the only reason that the Rockies took Mark Canha was because the A's said, we will give you something for your pick and you can't trade those picks. But if you draft this guy, we will then give you something for him. So that's essentially how that went down. I think it might have been Austin House. Maybe that was who they got for Mark Canha. Don't quote me on that one. So they've had much better luck drafting players and then trading them to another team. Hickster saying, who are the people we're looking at potentially trade? That's a topic for another day. But typically guys that are going to be free agents at the end of the year, which there's not a ton, or players that have a club option for next year, because if you're not going to pick up the club option on the player and another team is going to give you something for that guy, you can make that trade. But the Rockies, I don't know if this is more of an exception to the rule. I think it is. But they were creative at last year's trade deadline. GM Bill Schmidt, I will give him credit for being creative, because of all the guys that seemed like they were going to be on the trade block, Nick Mears was not one of them. And yet, Bill Schmidt was able to trade a guy like Nick Mears that had at least 3 years of service time left. I think it might have even had four more years of club control. So it was 2024 and then three more years after that. So it wasn't a player that was a free agent. It was a young arm, older young arm, but a less experienced arm that had some good upside. But the Rockies, unfortunately, just didn't see things working out for him. So you know what? Instead of waiting for the offseason and dumping him or non-tendering him or designating him for assignment, they were actually able to bring back something good in Bradley Blaylock and a prospect that unfortunately had to get shut down and get Tommy John surgery. But they got a little bit creative. So that does suggest that it's not just going to be players that are free agents or even players that are 2 years away. It could be something more than that. And I would certainly argue that because the Rockies do feel very far away from getting back into contention, keeping a player that is going to be a free agent beyond 2026 or becoming a free agent after 2027 is probably a player that's not really a part of your future. It's part of your near future, but not a part of your next contending team. And if they're not going to be a part of your next contending team, there becomes less of a reason to keep that player around. And that's something that has been really, really challenging for the Rockies to come to grips with. And it's something that's hurt them, frankly, a lot, not trading players when their stock is highest and recognizing and looking in the mirror that, you know what, we're not good right now. We're not going to be good in the next couple of years. So holding on to this player isn't going to really help us do much of anything. Maybe it's going to help us avoid 100 losses. Right now, I don't think there's any player you could say that about. So being a little bit more aggressive on the trade front this year is certainly something that I'm going to be discussing on the Rockies Insider in maybe a couple weeks' time, because the Mike Moustakas trade in 2023 was on the aggressive side. Didn't have a ton of upside, but you know what? He was playing well at the time as a decent left-handed bench bat, but that was one of the first trades of the trade deadline, and it was over a month before the trade deadline. Realizing that, look, we're not going to contend right now, and if another team is going to pay a premium on a player, because instead of getting that player as a rental for the final 2 months of the season, for August and September, well, if you're going to trade this player at the end of June or even early July, now we're getting this player for 3 months. So we might pay a little bit more. And there's less options that are around. So you know what? We need something right now. So we'll take that. Now, that does wave a white flag and it does communicate something to the fan base. But if the object of a baseball season is to win a championship, and you're not going to do it this year, you're not going to do it in 2026, you're probably not going to do it in 2027, you want to make moves to allow you to increase the likelihood of winning a championship or even getting back to the postseason in 2028. So you're waving a white flag on now, but increasing the likelihood that you won't have to do that in 3 years' time. If the Rockies had done that in 2021, they wouldn't have to wave the white flag 4 years later. We are now 4 years past 2021 when they didn't wave that white flag at the trade deadline. So you've got to learn from those kind of things. Jeff in the chat saying, we have no value to sell anywhere on our team right now. There's a lot of guys struggling for sure. I think there are still pieces out there that, again, right now, no one trades anybody at this time of year, unless you're the Marlins. I mean, they traded Luis Arraez this time last year. That's the Padres. That's the Marlins. There are definitely the exceptions to the rule. But I think given a month's time, there are going to be players that have value. And when you consider the fact that there are now three wild cards, there's a lot of teams in contention, which means there's very few teams that are out of contention. So there are less options available in making trades. Now, two contending teams can get creative and make trades. That's a good old-fashioned baseball trade. Those things still do happen. But if you're just looking to cherry pick the best players off of a team that's struggling as poorly as the Rockies, sometimes that becomes easier to do. So while I would agree, Jeff, in theory that right now there's a lot of guys that you can't really sell high on. I mean, you're not trading Jordan Beck. You're not trading Hunter Goodman. Like, if those are the two guys that you're going to sell high on, Brenton Doyle, you're not really going to trade right now. And Ezekiel Tovar is on the IL, but you're not going to trade high on those guys exactly at all this season. So I do agree that it's going to take a little bit of time before you can possibly figure those things out in the chat. So by 2028, should Tolia, Doyle, Beck, Veen, and Tovar, they should all be in their prime. Dolander too. Essentially, yeah, they will be in their prime. Brendan Rodgers in his prime, how much was he able to contribute? Not a ton. And that's another thing that the Rockies need. They need some stars. They need some really great players to break out. And they don't have that just yet. They're waiting for Tovar and Doyle, and they might not get there. They might end up being those really solid four-win players. And that's okay. But if you're not going to be able to sign superstar players that can be 5.5, 6 wins and above, because you've been shell-shocked by Chris Bryant and players in the past, and you're not going to trade your prospect capital for some big name guys that are already hard to get. You have to develop them. You have to draft and develop well, and you also have to cherry pick from other organizations like you did with Hermann Marquez ahead of the 2016 season. It's a rarity. It's hard to do, but you can get creative. The White Sox were desperate enough to trade a player who I'm 99% sure had yet to even make his professional debut because he was an international signing. They were that desperate that the White Sox acquired James Shields for a package of players that included Fernando Tatis Jr. Go back and look. Yeah, he came up through the Padres minor league system, but he was traded by the White Sox. He signed with Chicago and was dealt for James Shields.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shields. Now, the Rockies, that's a lottery ticket that I don't know they'll be able to cash in or take advantage of. But you got to try. You got to try something like that. Jared Thomas, the second of the two organizational players of the month. He was great for high A Spokane. He slashed .352, .472, .534. So batting average is high. On base percentage, just below .500 or just below 50%, he's getting on base. And a slug above .500. He did that with 4 home runs and hitting safely in 19 of 23 games, reaching base in 22 of 23 games. At the time of the award, he led the NWL in both hits and RBI with 19. Pretty impressive when you're the leadoff hitter. And he was second in average and in total bases. He is a true hitter. He is a leadoff hitter. It's something he's been doing since he was 14, 15 years old. And he called himself that. He called himself a true hitter, more than a power hitter, despite hitting for power. It's kind of like Corbin Carroll. He can hit for power, but he's more of a guy who can get on base, wreak some havoc when it comes to steals. Thomas, 5 for 6 in stolen base attempts. But it's about getting on base and utilizing his skills. So yeah, he's gonna stretch some singles into doubles, doubles into triples, but he's not a power hitter. He's a true hitter, and his objective is to get on base. It's what he loves to do. He's been getting much better now in his second year as a pro, but it's still his first full season as a professional, getting much better about being patient, accepting his walks, picking his spots to break out, especially with those stolen bases. In fact, a little over a week ago, he was a double shy of a cycle in a game where he had 2 walks. Now, granted, he did get a triple in his final plate appearance. So yeah, he was a double away from the cycle and he took 2 walks and they were really earlier in the game, but still it's an important thing to note that he's doing it in all facets of the game when he comes to the plate. He's never hit for the cycle. He has never hit for the cycle before. College, high school, anything. I think that's going to change at some point in the next 2 years while he's down in the minors. In Spokane, the two guys he said he's been talking to and connecting and communicating with the most, Skylar Messenger, who's a Colorado kid, who's done a really good job as a late round pick, but a contributor at every level in the minors, and Charlie Condon, who is out and is looking to get himself back maybe by the end of May, beginning of June. I talked about Charlie Condon just a couple days ago. Make sure you check out some of those old editions of the Rockies Insider. A week ago is old? Well, with how fast news travels around these parts when it comes to baseball. I mean, it's every single day. I mean, yeah, it is old news. Now, one of the bigger questions that, not a bigger question, but certainly an interesting and notable one is, what's his future position going to be? Because he was a player that at the University of Texas, a guy who worked closely with Skylar Messenger. They were teammates there in Austin, but also Troy Tulowitzki. That's going to be one of those interesting storylines going through with Skylar Messenger and Jared Thomas as a top prospect. By the time they get to the Rockies, and even when they do get to the Rockies, there'll be a lot of conversation about Troy Tulowitzki and his post-playing career and contributing to the Longhorns and the growth of players like a Jared Thomas. That's going to be fun. And maybe that's what opens the door and maybe can help repair some of the issues, frankly, that Tulo rightfully so has with the Rockies, who made a handshake deal and say, don't worry, we're not going to trade you. Jeff Breidich traded him because he wasn't the man who shook Tulowitzki's hand. He wasn't the general manager at the time. So Tulo, hard feelings and rightfully so, rightfully so. But Jared Thomas is an outfielder, really. Like, he's got the first baseman's mitt in the bag, but I don't see him as being one of those players. If you can't defend anywhere else, you end up at first base. That's typically how it goes. There's not a ton of first base minor league prospects. Nick Kurtz of the A's, sure. We've seen him come up, but he's more of the exception to that rule. So he can defend in center and in left. So that's really going to be, you know, his position going forward. Skylar went to your high school. Fantastic. Was it Niwot? I thought he might have gone to Niwot High School, just north of Boulder. That's pretty neat. In the chat, how bad were the Rockies in 2013, 14, and 15, and early 2016 to get the 17, 18 success seasons that got them to the playoff appearances? Well, what's interesting, and I've talked about this before, from 2012 to 2015, the Rockies, who were trying to be good, they were trying to put a contender on the field, they only lost one more game than the Chicago Cubs from 2011 to 2014, a team that was actively tanking. And while the Rockies were trying to be good, they only ended up winning one more game. And we're seeing that now too. They are trying to put a good product on the field. They're certainly paying for it. They're not at the bottom of the league in terms of payroll. And yet, they're going to have 300 losses in 3 years' time. So a lot of those guys in 2017, 2018 did come from the drafts that had a lot to do with the 12 through 15 run. And so they benefited from picking high every year. And the Rockies have been picking high every single year, except those players just haven't really been coming to fruition. The drafting has been well. The developing has been the thing that has held this team back from having a 17-18 quality of a team. And that's been one of the biggest things. Tulo was on Sunday Night Baseball tonight. Oh, he was. I did not see this, talking about how he worked with Mookie this offseason. That's also very interesting. I did not know that yet. Troy Tulowitzki, you know what? Second career as a coach. You know, not every player wants to do that. Not every player can communicate that. I mean, Barry Bonds, I don't think he was a very good hitting coach for the 1 year that he was with the Marlins, because Barry Bonds just had the God-given talent. I mean, he was the son of a big leaguer. That certainly helped. So him going out and doing things to him was easy. It's like, just do that. He would talk about like pitches, and he's like, just put the bat on the ball. I think he said, quote, I try to catch the ball with the bat. So go ahead and do that. Now, I think he had some success working with Christian Yelich at the time, but I don't know a ton of other guys have actually been able to translate the things that they learned with Barry Bonds that 1 year with the Marlins. Now, the Tiger series, the weather has been obviously wreaking havoc, and the Chase Dolander-Jackson Jobe matchup was like a total wow. And I looked this up because I didn't know at the time. Jackson Jobe, third overall pick to Detroit in 2021 and 2023. Dolander to the Rockies, ninth overall. But Jobe, before he was taken third by the Tigers, he was actually committed to Ole Miss. So we could have had a Jobe-Dolander matchup first in 22 and 23 as a prime SEC matchup between Ole Miss and Tennessee. Would have been cool. Kyle Freeland and Casey Mize, Antonio Sensatella, Tarek Skubal. We'll see if Skubal ends up going with a lot of the chaos that the weather has wreaked. But what else about the Detroit Tigers? Well, Tommy Canley returning. Since the start of 2018, he's been back to Coors Field once since pitching for the Rockies, and that was two appearances with the Yankees in 2023. Javier Baez, he's now a center fielder. Kenta Maeda is gone. He was designated for assignment last week. They've got 11 players at the end of the weekend, 11 players that was on the injured list, and yet they still manage to not only be relevant, but also be very good. That is one of the things that some teams will point to and say, well, you know, we've had some injuries and who knows how good we could have been. Sure, but you do need depth to step up from behind. And so the Tigers, I did not have them go into the postseason this year. I had the Guardians winning the division and the Royals making it as a wild card from the Central. But the Tigers continuing with that momentum that allowed them to surge into the postseason at the end of last year. And I imagine on the broadcasts, they'll talk about how the Tigers were able to build their team. And a good amount of their best players have come through via the draft. Lots of first rounders, all of which have worked out to varying degrees. Spencer Torkelson certainly could be better or could have been better, but he's finally turning things around this season. You also got first rounders in Riley Green, Jace Young, Casey Mize. Took a while for him to get things going. And Jackson Job, all those guys, first rounders, and we're talking about them. Can't say that exactly about the Rockies right now in their roster being comprised of those first round picks. But the Tigers have also made a lot of shrewd trades in the last few years. Their shortstop, Trey Sweeney, they acquired in the Jack Flaherty deal with the Dodgers. And yet they were able to re-sign Jack Flaherty, something that some people in Denver that they used to talk a lot on the podcast side, they don't really do it anymore, told me, oh, that's an impossibility. You can't trade Story or John Gray and then re-sign them. No, you can. The Tigers did it. A lot of teams have done those things. But a really shrewd deal to pick up Trey Sweeney from the Dodgers and a really good catching prospect in Tyron Lorenzo. Justin Henry Molloy came over for an above-average reliever. Chase Lee in the bullpen came over for Andrew Chafin at just last year's trade deadline. He was a six-round pick in 2021 by the Rangers. Reese Olson came over in a deal that sent Daniel Norris out. A two-month rental of Daniel Norris for Reese Olson, a middle-of-the-rotation starter for the Tigers. And then Zach McKinstry, you might remember him from his time with the Dodgers. He did come in a trade with the Cubs at the end of spring training. And Tyler Holton was a great waiver acquisition from the Diamondbacks. So this is how you get players, not just drafting and developing, but doing a lot of those other things right. Finally, some ex-Rockies on the move I want to talk about. Ty Block signed a minor league deal with Texas. Brent Suter, when I talked to him when the Reds were in town, mentioned that Block and Suter had gotten together during the visit to Denver and that he was on the comeback trail and trying out with some teams. So he's working. He worked out through those things. He is now with the Rangers, which would explain why it took him a little while to get signed. May 1st, he finally gets his deal. Brian Shaw signed a minor league deal with the Seattle Mariners. Brian Shaw still doing it at age 37. His last year with the Rockies, he was only 31 years old, still kicking around, contributing, playing baseball. Good for him. Jose Urania didn't have a very long tenure with the Rockies. He was designated for assignment by the Mets, opted for free agency, only had one start this year with the Mets, three innings pitched, allowed five runs, spent all of 2024 with the Rangers, and the rest of 2023, after the Rockies dropped him, he was with the White Sox after those five really bad starts for Colorado. Chris Flexen was promoted after being outstanding in AAA. In fact, he was solid for the White Sox last year. He did have a 4.95 ERA, but was worth 1.6 wins above replacement. So it's utterly wild to me to think that Urania and Flexen were a part of the first 100 lost team in Rockies history. And here we are 2 years later, and nothing has really changed except the roster for the Rockies is just a little bit younger. Chasen Shreve won a game with the Rockies last year. He rejected an assignment to the minors with Atlanta, so I believe he is a free agent now. So those guys are still kicking around. I don't expect them to come back in the purple pinstripes, but it's interesting keeping tabs on those guys who it seemed like maybe their career was on the way out. You know, it's Rockies can be that last team for a lot of players on their way out, looking for an opportunity to play, but some of them still kicking around and doing their things. Good for them. Good for them. Good for you for sticking around. I appreciate that momentum you've given me. Give me some more momentum on the social media at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. So you can get all those updates from this Tiger series and the Padres series this weekend. Rockies Insider, go over to the YouTube channel. Make sure you follow along and subscribe to that. Appreciate everybody in the chat live over on YouTube, keeping the show going and rolling along, giving me that momentum, asking me those questions, those momentous questions. But as I like to say, when it comes to momentum, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, you know, I will talk to you tomorrow.